A number of women fought in the U.S. Civil War, and there's actually quite a good book called They Fought Like Demons about those women. There's also an Oregon connection. A direct descendant of Deborah Sampson lives in Astoria, Oregon, and was really excited that I knew about her ancestor. And this woman is Rosetta Wakeman, whose great-great-great-great niece lives in Eugene, Oregon. And recently discovered, they're not that recently discovered, probably about 1990, and there's a fascinating book of her letters that disclose this young woman from upstate New York. It's a great little book called The Uncommon Soldier, and one of the things that's really neat about it is that we rarely hear the actual voice of such women. So if you're interested in this stuff, I've got it here for you. But anyway, Sarah Rosetta Wakeman, or Aunt Rosie as Fran refers to her, wrote to her family in 1862. Also, there's a great story if you're interested about how these letters surfaced, but I don't have time to tell you now. So if you want to eat dinner and then ask me, I'll tell you. Okay, so Rosetta Wakeman wrote to her family in 1862. She says, "My dear father and mother and sister and brothers, one and all, I went on the canal to work. I agreed to run 4 trips from Binghamton to Utica for $20 in money. But this load of coal was going to Canajoharie, Montgomery County. When I got there, I saw some soldiers. They wanted I should enlist, so I did. I got $152 in money. I enlisted for 3 years or soon as discharged. All the money I send you, I want you should spend it for the family. Don't save it for me, for I can get all the money I want. If I ever return, I shall have money enough for myself and to divide with you." Well, Rosetta Wakeman actually died fighting in Louisiana in the spring of 1864. But a poignant letter of the year before, I think, captures for us the spirit of independence that she had and a glimpse of the dreams that she never got to live. She says, "I can tell you what made me leave home. It was because I'd got tired of staying in that neighborhood. I knew that I could help you more to leave home than to stay here with you. So I left. I'm not sorry I left you. I believe it will all be for the best yet. If I ever own a farm, it will be in Wisconsin, out on the prairie. I'm enjoying myself better this summer than I ever did before in this world. I have good clothing and enough to eat and nothing to do, only to handle my gun, and that I can do as well as the rest of them. I don't want you to mourn about me, for I can take care of myself. And I know my business as well as other folks know them for me. I will dress as I'm a mind to for all anyone else cares. And if they don't let me alone, they'll be sorry for it." Another female soldier of 18th century England is Hannah Snell. And Snell had 2 versions of her life published in 1750 by the publisher Robert Walker, who specialized in newspapers. He brought out her life and adventures, which I also have a facsimile of if you're interested, that the Clark Library, wonderful place, did. But on page 1, we see that Snell testifies to the truth of her story by signing her account with an X, her mark. And I think that raises to our view how the women who did this would have been from a social rank that would not have been literate. That's one of the reasons I think that Wakeman's letters are so valuable. But on page 1 of her account, which is clearly, remarkably fictionalized, but it's just great fun anyway, the story goes on that Snell is hunting a renegade husband who had deserted her. And so she claims that she served aboard ship and, went to India and did a bunch of stuff. and eventually came back to London and was discovered when Walker printed up her life story. Now, of course, one thing that it's important to notice is that money is what is really at stake for many of these women. Surely we can infer that. And definitely that's what's going on with Wakeman. So at the same time, the ballad romance story probably had something to do with women who actually did enlist. But we just need to remember how the economic system worked out for women. And also, the reason for printing up the ballads would also be for a woman soldier, even like the female warrior of the 1640s who had the young soldiers, that she needs to make a living now that she can no longer be a soldier. Also, it's probably the case that this disguising, in addition to having economic benefits, would also enable women like Charlotte Charke, who lived in a marriage relationship with another woman, so it would enable what we today would call a lesbian relationship. And another female sailor is Marianne Talbot, whose life story was published in a few different versions. A chapbook of 1803 is the first. It was published by a printer named Robert Kirby, she was a servant in his house, and according to her story, she was carried off as a regimental drummer. She says she deserted in 1793 and began a career at sea. And I'm going to do a version of the female drummer that may have a resonance with her story, because it was popular in about the same time that the 1790s, when she was sort of having her little day of notoriety. And this song steers directly into some of the body and gender-bending innuendo of the pattern. So I've had to cut that short a little bit here. But anyway, the tune I'm going to sing, This ballad was widely printed on both sides of the Atlantic. Here's a Boston version. The tune I'm going to use is the tune that John Clare played on his fiddle. So.